You're listening to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Tomorrow, seven women and girls are expected to testify against a doctor they say sexually abused them. They are some of the more than 100 women and girls who've alleged Dr. Larry Nassar abused them while they were in gymnastic programs at Michigan State University or USA Gymnastics. Nassar was team physician for both. The first person to take the stand will be Rachel Den Hollander, and she joins us now. What are you thinking today, knowing you'll be testifying against Nassar tomorrow, that he'll be there, the news media will be there?
You know, I feel a sense of relief that it's ending, that his ability to prey on women and children, I believe, is coming to an end very swiftly. But there's also definitely a sense of pain. It's going to be a painful process. And I think that's an aspect that we don't understand very well in society. I think that the lack of understanding for the ramifications of sexual assault is something that we need to do a much better job understanding. And I think you see some of that lack of understanding coming out with the way USAG and MSU both handled claims of sexual assault against Larry Nassar from 1997 on.
I want to talk about that a little later, but I want to ask you, of those people to testify tomorrow, you're the only one to actually reveal your name. The other six decided not to. Why did you decide to go public?
I was convinced it was the only way to be able to put a stop to what he was doing. When someone has the persona and particularly the institutions behind him with the level of power and authority that Larry Nassar had in MSU and USAG, the unfortunate reality is that an anonymous voice is not enough. It was not a decision I wanted to make. It was never something I wanted to do, but it is the unfortunate reality of the culture that we live in.
How have people reacted since you went public?
You know, I've gotten a lot of support from family and friends, and I'm very, very grateful for that. For the most part, I really have tried to stay out of reading public comments and blogs, and off of that, it's not constructive and it's not helpful many times. And so, to be perfectly honest, I really can't tell you what's happening out in the world of internet comments, because that's not relevant to me.
Probably pretty wise as well. Going public and talking about what you must be a horrific memory. Again and again to people like me. How has that affected you?
It's been very painful. Having to do this publicly is something I will, I think I'll always regret having to do it this way. But there are dynamics that are more important than what I want and than what I feel. And that is the ability to protect the women that are coming after me. You know, for 16 years, I did not have that ability, and I do now. And that's more important than what I want.
The Washington Post obtained email exchanges of Michigan State University officials. What did that report tell you about the relationship between the school and the doctor?
I think it really confirmed a lot of the institutional problems that allowed someone like Larry Nassar to continue preying on women and children for decades. You know, and there are a lot of women that have come forward since my testimony saying, you know, I spoke to Kathy Klages, I spoke to people in the athletic training department, you know, the woman who filed a claim in 2004 with the Meridian Township Police, and the woman in 2014 who filed a Title IX claim and a claim with the MSU Police. And so I think we saw a lot of those problems. But to see Dean Stramble saying so blatantly to Larry Nassar, I'm on your side. Irrespective of the evidence that I had brought, irrespective of my claim, that was really painful. And it really confirmed, once again, the institutional dynamics that allowed someone like Nassar to prey on children for 20 years.
You mentioned William Strample. He's the dean of the College of Osteopathic Medicine and Larry Nassar's boss. You wrote open letters to him and to Michigan State University President Lou Anna K. Simon after the revelations in the Washington Post. What did you want them and us to know?
You know, my concern at this point as it relates to MSU and USAG is that it really doesn't appear that they're learning the lessons they need to learn to prevent something like this from happening again. The unfortunate reality is that a pedophile is only going to be as prolific as the people around him allow him to be. And the reason Nassar was able to continue preying on women and children for decades is because there was deliberate indifference to the claims of the children that were coming forward and saying, look, this is what he's doing under the guise of medical treatment. There was deliberate indifference to the red flags, to the claims of sexual assault. And that resulted in dozens and dozens of women who have suffered abuse that they did not need to suffer. And my greatest concern going forward is that I can do everything in my power to stop Larry Nassar. But unless MSU and USAG change the way that they handle sexual assault, unless they can recognize the problems that they had and the dynamics that they created that allowed someone like Larry Nassar to continue preying on children, unless there's a full recognition of those dynamics, they're not going to be making the kinds of changes that will prevent someone from coming up to take his place. And there's a lot of discussion of, well, we're doing internal investigations and we're going to make changes. But you can't make changes if you don't recognize the problems that you already have. And to this point, there's not only been no recognition of those problems, but there's been a statement made even by President Simon that it's virtually impossible to catch a predator. That's not a recognition of what MSU has done to this point. That really is a washing hands and a walking away, in effect.
What specifically would you like to see changed at Michigan State and USA Gymnastics?
Well, I think some of those dynamics are going to continue evolving as we, you know, as we get more information. A lot of it, I think, will relate to how people individually handle claims of sexual assault, you know, and where precisely those problems lie in MSU. I think we're still learning, but we definitely see some of them with the way Kathy Kalagis handled the claims of assault by the girls.
Tell us who she is.
Kathy Kalagis is the former gymnastics coach at MSU, and there were two women that came forward in 1997 who told Kathy what Larry was doing under the guise of medical treatment, and she basically bullied them into silence, you know, and told one of them, I can file a report, but there's going to be serious ramifications for you if I do. She even called Larry, allegedly, and told him, you know, this is what these girls are saying, and it really silenced these young women who had very bravely come forward to try to shed a light on what was happening to reach out for help. And the result of that is that they were silenced, and Larry was able to continue and know that he was empowered to continue abusing women for the next 20 years.
Dr. Nassar has been accused of pedophilia, sexually assaulting little girls again and again. Why do you think it's taken so long for this to be taken seriously?
I think that really has to do with what we see with the culture of abuse and the societal response to abuse. You know, the culture of abuse is a catchphrase that's thrown around a lot. Oh, we have a culture of abuse. We have a culture of abuse. But I don't think a lot of people really understand what that means. You know, a culture of abuse is not created by the predator himself. The culture of abuse is a societal response. It's the way we handle disclosures of assault. It's our understanding of the impact of sexual assault. It's our understanding of what sexual assault really can even entail. And, you know, there are a lot of these facts that people have in their heads. For example, you know, most people can tell you, oh, sexual assault happens not often by a stranger, but by someone you trust. But the reality of what that can look like, you know, that it's not the man in the trench coat, it's not the white van with no windows, it's your trusted physician, it's your school principal, it's the pillar in the community that has positioned himself to be in a position where no one is going to question, and where childhood victims are going to be silenced and disbelieved. And that's a pattern that we see repeated over and over and over again. There's a reluctance and an unwillingness to deal with sexual assault when it's someone that's a friend or that you trust or that's really even in your own camp.
Rachel Denhollander, thanks for talking with us.
Thank you.
Michigan Radio News and Stateside have asked to interview Dean William Strample and President Luana K. Simon. Michigan State University has not made them available to us. This week, President Simon, in an online video, asked for patience and referred people to a new website for information from the university about what the school is doing to deal with and to prevent sexual assault.